So Wednesday nights, wow, we got a way for you to walk with Jesus, to be discipled. I've had a lot of you guys ask me if I'm teaching it. I'm not teaching it this time around, just so I can work on some of our other discipleship ministries. But we have a great, great team with Tim and the guys, and they're going to do a great job, and it's going to be awesome. So make sure you get involved with that. Tim's got a table out there. You can't miss it, and it's not too late to be a part of that. And I'm really thankful that these guys have put this together. Also, as I told you guys, for the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've come together with Reality San Francisco and We Are Church, which is Francis Chan's church. And we're running a perspectives ministry that starts tomorrow. And this is, once again, another discipleship opportunity. And really what this course is a 15-week course with 3 churches. And it's a way that you can start seeing this world and this life, this short life of ours, through the lens of Scripture, and do something powerful for the glory of God. This is going to lead to all kinds of movings of the Holy Spirit. So it's not too late to sign up for that. It is missions driven. It's on Monday nights for 15 weeks, starting tomorrow. You can still sign up and register. There should be a card or 10 out on our info desk. It looks something like this. Grab one of these guys on the back. There's a way to register, and we will get a hold of you ASAP, but you can still be a part of that. Again, another great way to be discipled in the Lord Jesus. And then our food pantry starts the 27th. You can still sign up for that. At the info desk, we also have a prayer gathering on the same day. All of that happens on Saturday every single week. We feed our neighborhood, and we pray for those who come on Saturday mornings, and that starts the 27th. It's going to be a big day. You can sign up for that at our info desk, and we'll put you on the team. And our young adults community group does kick back. I know several of you guys are asking about that. Shortly, we are hanging out after church today. We'll be out in the lobby. Just look for us, and we'll have lunch and talk a little bit about that. But a meeting is coming, just to give you guys a heads up. All right, we got that out of our system. Are you ready? Yes. This is discipleship right here as well. Like, this is it. And I'm really excited to preach this to you. So here's what we're going to do. Go ahead and grab a Bible. There's Bibles in front of you. Grab your phone or your tablet and go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're continuing this series that we're calling Together, Together. And really what we're in is we're in a fresh season as a church. And we're trying to answer some of these questions, such as, what does it look like to go to church? Why should we go to church? And what should happen when we go to church? We want to open all of that up. Because there's a lot of other things we could be doing right now. Like watching the game. The games are on today, right? Hey, so in Minnesota, did everyone see the miracle catch? Dude, Minnesota is going nuts right now. And you know that really cheesy movie, Angels in the Outfield? I never saw it. Did something not grab that defender and just go whoop? Like, what was that? If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, Google Miracle Catch Minnesota. It was totally insane. We do have a Patriots fan. He's one of our elders. Please leave him alone today. We do love you, John. John from Boston. But let's jump to Hebrews in this series together. And I'm just really excited to preach this to you guys, because I think this is the spawning of what happened to me at this conference, as well as just things that are going on in my heart that God is doing. You got it? Hebrews 10? Look in your index. Check that out. We'll be in Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 4. Together. It's very important to me that we understand the importance of being together, of what this gathering is. We hear a lot. There's so many different views on church. There's so many different views on what this thing should look like, how long it should go. Some of you guys are like, hey, a 30-minute sermon wouldn't hurt every now and then. Others say, man, preach all day. Some are not here. Some are here. Like, what is this thing? What should we be doing? What is this book we keep opening? What is this God that we keep praying to? Like, how do we view this thing called church? Some of you grew up in church and like, you just went to church. You went to church for years and you just kind of sat there and you never really understood it. And good things happened. Some of you are just now coming to church and you're kind of exploring this thing. Like, what is this thing called church? Well, I want you to journey, and I want you to rediscover what it means to be a part of a church. What is a church? Who belongs to it? How do you belong to it? And I think equally to that point, what in the world is the church for? I'm going to be bold enough as we, on a day off, gather for an hour and a half. I'm going to be bold enough to assume that many, maybe all, of the people in this room are just plain tired. If you're tired and you have the strength to raise your hand, I want you to raise your hand. If you're like, yeah, I'm tired. You may even feel overwhelmed from the week. And so when we think about going to church, church may feel like kind of another thing in an already packed schedule. It's like, man, I was really tired this morning. I had a young lady tell me after our gathering last Sunday, she's like, I almost did not come to church. I was so tired. And then she began to explain to me what happened to her through gathering at the church and what it did to her energy level and how it began to shape her focus for the week. And that's what I want to flesh out for us. And when you think about going to church, I got saved at 21 years old. And so I'd never been to church in my life. Maybe once, maybe a wedding or something like that. But I went to church for the first time at 21, and I got saved. I received Christ as my Savior. And it was a very new experience for me. And so I hear people talk about like Sunday when like everything used to be shut down. How many of you guys would be bold enough to raise your hand and say, I remember those days? Oh, wow, okay. When everything shut down on a Sunday, could you imagine that? And just like the whole day was devoted to Christ and the church. And you hear about these things where people went to church like three times a week. But we are in a massive culture shift. I think of it maybe the last 20 years or something like that. Now they say, whoever they are and whoever like tallies these statistics, now they say that people go to church twice a month on average. And so we're like, backsliders. No. What if we've lost the idea of why we even go? Why would you go? Why would you go more than twice a month if you didn't even understand what should be loosed and should happen when you do gather? And if you think about why people aren't gathering in churches and all of that good stuff, I want to tell you it's a lot of it has to do with our culture shift. Flow with me here. Have you noticed, this is kind of funny, this isn't a bust on anybody, but have you noticed that busyness in our culture is a badge of honor? You know, when someone rolls up and they're like, hey, how was your week? What do you say? Do you go like this? Dude, it was so mundane and flat, I literally did nothing. It was awesome. No, like even if you had a flat week, here's what you say. You go, Oh, it was so busy. Like we were here. What's happening right there? Our culture has taught us that it's a badge of honor, that the more active you are, the more in the game you are. We have some retired people in this church that I just love. And I always tease, there's two of them that I'm always teasing because I always go, hey, how was your week? And one of these ladies who's very special, she always goes like this, it was so busy, John, I'm exhausted. And I'm like, what? You're retired. You're killing retirement for me. Like, I don't want to retire. Like, what do you mean you're tired? Oh, I was running here and I was running there. And that's very true. This is a godly woman. But if you think about it, like, that's kind of the default. Like, we have that FOMO, that fear of missing out, when we're not, like, overly embedded in activity. Like, we just keep ourselves. I'm not even sure we're busy. We're active. And I think that's a major reason why, you know, church is kind of another one of those things. I think what our world is doing without us even seeing it is we're beginning to tangle our worth with our accomplishments, aren't we? Like, I'm somebody, I have an identity, I'm viewed as valuable in this world because I'm doing all of these things. And the antithesis is Christianity. Christianity is so wild and so not of this world and all of that because Jesus goes like this, like you do nothing and I give you an identity that you can never work for. It's a free gift of grace when you come to me and be saved. And like you never can raise your standing at all. You can never lower your standing. You're perfect in me. I put my name on your forehead. You're a son or a daughter forever and ever. That's who you are. It's full of joy. And you literally need to settle your soul down and rest in that. And we're like, yeah, but people, there's people and I'm human. And like people are asking me, like, are you married yet? You know how it is. You married yet? And then you get married and it's like this. When are the kids coming, right? When are the kids? You know, and you're feeling this pressure, like to be this person, you gotta keep working things out. And you know, well, where are you at in the company? You've been there 10 years. And like, are you kind of just in the same place? And yeah, I gotta keep moving this thing. And you know, it's just kind of this mess. This world's, it's a crazy mess. And so we're busy. And a lot of it's good. I don't mean to create any more guilt. But we're busy because we're tangling this worth, this identity with accomplishments. And I really think that's what drives people to be so busy, to be overscheduled, to be tired. I don't know Chinese. So I could be totally wrong about what I'm about to say. But the two Chinese symbols for the word busy are heart and killing. You flowing with me? Heart and killing. And I was looking at my own life as I was in Minnesota. Yeah, I was drinking root beer. I'm sitting in Minnesota. You cannot go outside or you will die. It's 5 degrees on the high. And I'm walking through the convention center with thousands of people around me, and I had nothing to do but call my wife and flirt with her. And I'm just walking around with Jesus Christ with literally no schedule. I can come and go. I can miss, you know, different breakout sessions. And the unbusyness brought the most tangible peace to my soul. And guys, I was thinking about this and I wrote this down. I cannot think of one advantage I've ever gained from being in a hurry. I simply cannot think of one advantage I have ever gained by living my life in a hurried state. But I can think of thousands of things I probably missed. Beautiful things from God. The way God wants to speak to me. Man, see, I just say that and I tear up. Like, God, speak to me. Like, that is the most awesome thing in the world. But God is in a slow dance. You know, he's not doing the 80s running man. It's a slow dance. You know, he's like, John, come weave yourself in this Trinitarian dance and slow down and listen. You know, sometimes when I'm in a hurry, I communicate with my wife like that. I'm like, so what's up with that? And if she doesn't get out the right, you know, the proper information I need within about 4 seconds, I'm like, yeah, come on. You know, and I walk around and I'm like, oh, you're a jerk. But that's kind of how we do God. Like, he wants to talk to us in these gatherings. And you know, it's often like, yeah, I know, I need the 30-minute sermon. I need to unlock the answer for me quickly and I got to get out of here. And it's like, God goes, no, you're not going to rush me. I have this book in my office that I've never opened because I hate it. And the title of it is this, you guys. God is not in a hurry. Francis Schaeffer. He wants this slow dance with me. So we went hiking again in Muir Woods yesterday. It's in my new spot. And there's nothing there. No cell reception. It's just like you and God who says, I'm speaking to you through my creation. And from every flower to that little chipmunk that showed his little head in that stump and then took off again to these exotic roots that only a painter could paint. And the waterfalls coming down and the smiles on the other people as they pass by and looking out over the Pacific Ocean and seeing that water and just like gazing into the creation of God, it was enough to slow down and hear the voice of God. I don't want to miss in 1,000 little beautiful words from God as I walk through this life. I don't want to miss it. Anyone who knows who God is, and anybody who knows that God made them, and anybody who knows what God wants them to be, will absolutely never try to be someone else. And that's what I want to break through as a church. Like, this world is pressing us to be someone else, to hurry, to find our identity in radical activity. And it's not always wrong, but if we could grasp who God is, designed us to be, these world shakers, these powerful people in his spirit we would slow down and divorce that world and gather as much as possible to hear his voice so he will change us into those people. And I believe it's going to happen. You and I will always, guys, just there's no way to escape this. You and I will always reflect the nature of the world we are most aware of. You are going to reflect and become the world that you are most aware of. And I just want to excite you with this thought. There are two worlds at work. There is this physical world and all of its messages of who you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do with your life. And then there is God's world, this forensic world, this invisible world that's breaking into our world, and God is trying to speak to you. And if you can tap into that world, if you can hear the voice of God through that world over and over and over in powerful ways, you're going to become that. And so we've got to gather and expect these experiences, these breakthroughs from God. And so God knows all this, guys. Like he's not just sitting up there. Like he knows all this. He knows the pressure of us getting busy and becoming that world. And he knows the power of unleashing who you're supposed to be. If we'll focus on this world, the world of God, through worship, through gathering together, whether it's Confident Living or the small groups that we have, or the Lord's Day. I want to call it that, the Lord's Day. And so here's what he does. He gives us a rhythm. And I'm calling it a rhythm of togetherness. We are supposed to come together. And it's supposed to be a rhythm. It's not supposed to be spontaneous hit and miss. It's supposed to be planned and designed. Because if you're like me, you have to have these things plotted and planned. He says, I want you to come together. Now, I'm not going to preach a Sabbath. I believe we're under the new covenant. I believe in the Lord's Day. But at the same time, there's a Sabbath spirit that we should have, shouldn't we? A day when we block it all out, guys. And I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about like shut down all the supermarkets because, you know, it's just the Lord's Day. I'm talking about a true hunger and a moving of the Holy Spirit that we say, no, this is our day. We need this. I want us to start looking at Monday and Tuesday as I cannot face what's coming if I don't saturate myself in the voice of God on the Lord's Day with his people. Amen. Yeah. God has given us a rhythm of togetherness. Our Thursday young adult small group, I just had Luke, who hosts it with his wife, Allie. We were just talking, having this great talk, and like we're both like, we just miss Thursdays. Like it was this rhythm of togetherness where like we were really experiencing Christ. And it's like, we just got to get back to that. You know, and we are. It's launching pretty soon. But that's where we find these believers in Hebrews chapter 10. Here's the story. Hebrews is just a massive letter. That's all it is. And we don't know who wrote it, but whoever it was a fantastic leader. And it's called Hebrews because a bunch of Jewish people got saved. They came to Christ, okay? And when they came to Christ, all of this persecution happened. All of this busyness happened in their lives. And some of them were being persecuted for their faith. Some of them were on the run. All kinds of different things were going on. And they started scattering. And in fear, they were not gathering as a body. They were not collectively coming together to worship Jesus. And so whoever the writer is writes this letter. And he says, guys, I know it's hard out there. I know it's crazy out there. But that's the exact reason that you cannot forsake gathering together. You can't. And that's kind of the default. Like, I'm really tired. And guys, I understand. Don't get me wrong. But I'm really tired. I'm really stressed out. How can I come to church? And the writer of Hebrews asks us in the spirit and in faith to rework that thought. How can I not gather and experience God if I'm this crazy busy? I need him bad. So that's our setting. That's where we find these early Christians, same play, different actor. And here's the answer. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 23. We'll throw this stuff behind me as well. Let me walk you through these verses. And in 1 Thessalonians, look up here real quick. I don't want you to think that I'm preaching to you right now. I want you to feel like God is speaking to you through this book right now. You see? It'll do nothing. I've got nothing to say to you. If God speaks through me, through his word, though, he will blow your mind. He'll transform your life. And that's what Paul says to the Thessalonians. He goes, we spoke the word to you, but as far as you were concerned, it was the voice of God. So let's hear this scripture as the voice of God. He says in verse 23, let us hold fast. You know what that means, guys? That's like taking a sailor when the storms hit, and they would say, hold fast to the ropes so you're not thrown overboard. When things are getting crazy, when things are getting wild in your house or with school or whatever it is, he goes, hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Like, don't lose Jesus in this. Don't lose God. Don't lose the Spirit of Christ in this thing. For he who promised is faithful. He promised to transform you. He promised to re-energize you. He promised to fill you every single week when this world depletes you. Now watch this, verse 24. Then how do we get filled up? How do we get filled up? Verse 23. How do we get filled up? God, I need you to speak to me. I've got questions. I got chaos. Like, I need your voice. Speak. 24. And let us consider. Let us study. Let us stare and study. How to stir up one another to love and good works. Let us figure out how we can agitate each other into hope. That's what that means. Stir up. I love that. Like, my calling from Almighty God is to agitate you. Some of you are like, yeah, I've experienced that from you, buddy. But this is cool. I love this verse. And that's kind of an ugly word, you know? It's like someone like tickling your nose with a feather. You're like, who wants to be agitated? But here's what he's saying. When you are empty, guys, when you're embarrassed about what's going on in your home or with kids or a marriage, or you're exhausted from school, or you can't feel the presence of God or whatever's going on, or you have an illness or something like that, here's what he says. Why don't you come together and agitate each other into hope? Yeah. And I love that. You know what these songs are? They're agitation of hope. You know what this preaching is? It's agitation of hope. When I see you, and you know, I saw several of you in the lobby, and you know, I could tell, like, you know, we love each other, so it's all good. But I could tell, like, you were heavy, and I would talk to you, and I would agitate you into hope. It's like, yeah, but what does God say? What? Okay, I get it. It's hard. What does God say? But what has God done? How many times has he done in your life, though? Has he failed? Seriously, like, let's talk. Has he failed? Does he love you? Has he bound himself to only do you good? Isn't he changing you through this, though? And you know, it's like this agitation. Sometimes we're like, man, come on, I just want a hug. Like, quit telling me that stuff. And you start seeing these brothers and sisters in Christ just start going, yeah, I'm going to preach it myself. Yeah, there's a lot to hope for. That's why we come together. You say, why do I go to church? Because we need to be refilled by God through each other. And that's why he says in verse 25, not neglecting to meet together. We cannot afford it. Monday's coming. Dang, Sunday afternoon is coming. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. God wants to speak through each one of us towards each other through song and conversation and praying over one another. Like, when this place lets out, don't go home. Walk around and ask God, do you want me to speak to someone? Does somebody need encouragement here? Speak, God. Speak through me. That's what he's talking about. Go to Matthew chapter 11. We'll throw this behind me too. I want you to feel, I don't want you to read this verse. I want you to feel this verse. If you're tired, if you're struggling, if you're just weary, guys, check this out. This is so cool. Jesus is amazing. Like, what do I do? And all this stuff. He goes like this. Just come to me just come to me. Like, come to me. And it's like, well, how do you go to Jesus? Well, you can do that in prayer just as you're walking. You can do that through the word. But it's overwhelmingly in the scripture coming together that Jesus so often blows our minds. Jesus is just like this. He's like, come here. Just come here. Come to me. You guys, come together and come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden. All who are really wore out. All who are hungry for God and can't find out how to stir up, you know, those embers into something just powerful. He goes, and I will give you the rest you're looking for. And I'm certainly for vacations. I'm not doing anything weird here. But isn't it amazing how tired you are after a vacation? Because that's all we do to try to work out this tiredness is do more. But the tiredness is in the soul. It's in the soul of the human. And Jesus is like, you know what you need? You need me. You need my voice. I was reading this, Psalm 46. Check this out. In all of our noise and all of our busyness, here's God's economy. Here's what God says. Psalm 46, verse 10. He goes like this. Like, this is such a message for us right now. I believe this is a word from God for you right now. Be still. And know that I am God. And he's not talking about movements. He's talking about your soul. Like, just settle your soul. And just get in my presence so I can speak to you and fill you up and heal you and strengthen you, empower you, give you a fresh vision for your life so you can go out in that place. This is what we call church. And I'm convinced that we're not going to be the world changers that we are saved to be. And we are. Unless we're restored constantly. And that's why he says again in Hebrews 10, 24. Check it out behind me. That's why he says in Hebrews 10, 24. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. We've got to be reminded constantly of who we are in Christ. His calling on our lives. And it always comes through the gathering, in verse 25, through the gathering. So to answer the question of why do we come together, like why should I go to church? Because this world has a tendency to suck vision out of you. Through lies, beat you down and tell you who you're not and that you're not enough. And when we come together, God says, yes, I got my kids in the room. Yes. Now hear me speak to you about who you are. Loved always. Powerful. Clay pot filled with unmistakable, shining, beautiful, life-changing, global power. That's who you are, loved always. I got you in the room. Now let me speak to you. All you need is my love. Stop chasing that. Stop chasing that. But if we don't get together, we can't hear the voice that we need. And so here's what I want to do very quickly. I want to convince you. I want God to convince you that you need to set apart, and I would even encourage, without getting legalistic, just an entire day. It doesn't mean like you don't like touch cards or something or go to movies or anything. It just means that a whole day should just be about the soul slowing down and being with Jesus. Through friendship, through lunch, through hanging out, through family, through going on a boat ride or whatever. I don't know what you do on a Sunday, but I want to encourage you to at least set aside just the Lord's Day just to be restored by God. And this is going to require two things, and we'll go through these very quickly. One is timeward, and the other is Godward. We're just going to have to get back into an exciting hunger, not a legalistic move, but an exciting hunger that when I gather with God's people, I don't go to church. I listen with my spiritual ears for the voice of God to tell me mysteries that are going to unlock my struggles and heal them that I have each and every week. Because that's what God wants to do. He wants to speak. And so I'm going to call this the rhythm of gospel rest. We need rhythms in our lives. That we're just like, yes, this is what I do on this day. And they need to be about the gospel, who we are in Christ. And they need to rest our souls. So jump to Hebrews chapter 4 real quick. And I'm going to work this out. You guys ready? I said rest, don't sleep now. All right. Check out Hebrews 4:9. So learn the science of you. You have weariness of body, weariness of minds, and weariness of spirits. And often we forget about that spiritual part of us. And so sometimes when we're depleted in spirit, we think, well, just to drive down the coast, we'll do it or whatever. And maybe that's it. I don't know. But so often we got to gather and worship because it's worship that God speaks through and gives us these answers and restores that depletion. So look at Hebrews 4:9. He says, look, don't forsake gathering. You need to hear your father's voice. And he goes on in 4:9 to kind of work this out a little bit. He goes like this. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Huh? There's a Sabbath rest. There's a rest. It's not Saturday. It's not like, you know, we're not under Jewish law or anything like that. But he's like, there's a principle of rest. There's a principle of rest. And rest does not mean a lack of movement. Rest does not mean you don't shout. Rest means the soul receives something and celebrates something. So there's a rest for the people of God. It's just like this thing, this intimate thing for God's kids. And what he means by that is when we come together, here's what happens. God our Father enters and he begins to retell of a certain story about who we are. He begins to remind us and speak to us through song and prayer and scripture who we are and what he's doing for us every second. And all of a sudden, these lies and these fears start dying in our hearts and our minds and our souls. And we begin to be strengthened in the Lord. And we become ready with fresh vision for a new week. Look at what he says in 4:10. He goes, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. That is a thick verse. So God rested, not because he was tired, because God's work was finished. The work was finished. And he's looking back and he's like, that's good work. Time to party. That's what church should look like. So he goes, God did that. You should do that too. There's a rest for you as well. And you need to rest from your works. And he doesn't mean like working a job. He's not talking about that. You need to rest from working and working and working your way into an identity that world tells you you need. You need to stop working and working and working to get those things that the world tells you that life will not be complete unless you get them. And you get them, and you get them. You know, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a car, a promotion, all these things. Are they wrong? No. But the slavery of the message of the world that you need to be something. And so you're just frantically working for those things. He goes, stop working like that and just come in and rest and do what God did. Celebrate what he's already done and who he calls you. And I just love that. And that word rest does not mean like you shouldn't work on Sunday. It means to stop, just to be done, and it means to celebrate. It's seizing, it's reminding, it's hearing God tell us of the fresh possibilities of what it means to be a Christian. And I love verse 11. The Bible's awesome. Is the Bible awesome? Amen. Look at verse 11. He goes, let us therefore strive. Huh? He just told us to rest. He's like, come on, let's go. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Bust your butt to get to the gathering. Be frantic to get to the gathering. That's what James says. We always say, you know, be quick to hear, like don't talk so fast. That's not what James says. He says, be quick to come to the hearing of God's voice. Be quick to come to the hearing of God's voice. So he goes, let us therefore strive, like work hard, like get after this thing. Whoa, okay, to enter that rest, to gather, to hear God's voice. And basically just kind of hit reset. You know, I am getting a little older, and I've been going to the chiropractor lately. Can I get a, Thank you. My back's been bad since I was like 14 or something. It's not bad at all, actually. But every now and then I just like to whine. And so I go to the chiropractor very rarely. And so I actually been twice in my life. And as I'm sitting on this whatever, and the dude's doing this thing, I always think to myself, this is Christianity. This is the Lord's Day. This is why I gather on Thursdays or Wednesdays or the Lord's Day, because I'm out of alignment. I'm not aligned. I'm out of alignment. I believe these messages in my head from this world, and they're constant because I have a smartphone. And the world's telling me, like, John, you're not enough yet, and you got to do this, and do you got this, and do you look this way? I'm out of alignment, like my back. And, you know, the chiropractor, dah! And you're always just like, yes, yes, that feels great. That's like the Holy Spirit to me. When I come and I gather with you, it's like through song and music and all the rest, he's speaking these words to me, and I feel my life realigning with his mind, and I'm like, yeah, you're okay. You're more than okay. You're blessed. You're a son of God. And you have accomplished all that he's put in front of you with glorious power, and more is coming. Like, I just come back in alignment. But for whatever reason, it's overwhelmingly through the gathering when we come together that God gets his. It's like he's got all these kids, you know, and he's like, gather in my house. And let me tell you the story again. Look at 4:12. How does he speak? How does he restore? How does he realign? For the word of God. We sing the words of God. We pray the words of God. We open the Bible, which is the word of God, and it's as if God is speaking to us. For the words of God, when God speaks in this gathering, those words are alive, they are active, they are doing something to your soul, your mind, and heart. They're filling you back up. They're restoring and healing you. They're driving out lies. They're driving out darkness. What happens when you're fearful, when you're a little kid, or maybe you still struggle with this, I don't know. And you're like in bed and the closet's open and you're like, dang, something's in there. And it's like, are you kidding me? There's nothing in there. And you're just like sitting there in the dark and you're like, I'm always like, honey, go shut the closet door. You know? And what happens to the darkness when light is shined on it? You just flip the light switch on and you go, there's nothing to be afraid of. I can see it all right now. That's what the word, when God speaks to us when we gather, that's what it's like. These lies, these dark places in our minds that we feel like are overcoming us. Like God's voice is like light, the Bible says, and it destroys that darkness. And we see life the way God wants us to see it again. When we sing, we pray, when we read the Bible, when we hear God's word preached about this life, he literally shows us the lies we've believed and the beautiful life-giving truth that he wants us to believe. That's church. That's awesome. We come together rehearsing our problems, making them seem larger than they are, yeah? My mom used to say that to me. You're making, what did she say? Yeah, you guys know that one too? It used to always drive me nuts. I'm like, yeah, whatever, mom. You're making mountains out of molehills. I'm like, no, it's a mountain, I'm sure of it. That's what happens to us through the week. We rehearse these problems. We make them seem so much bigger than they really are. And man, when you gather and God speaks, it's like we're all just awakened to God's greatness and his bigness. Then the problems shrink to the right size, guys. Any Narnia fans? Okay, we got a couple. One Sunday, we're just going to show the Narnia movies. I'm serious. No, I'm not serious. It's such an image of Christianity. Check this out. Just listen to this real quick. Here's what happens. The lion Aslan is a picture of Christ. And Lucy is like one of the children of Christ, one of the children of God. And Lucy is very fearful in this one place in the book, in the books. And she finds Aslan. She goes to Jesus. And here's what Lewis writes. The great beast rolled over on his side so that Lucy fell, half sitting and half lying between his front paws. It's like Jesus is just holding this fearful child. She gazed up into the large, wise face. "Welcome, child," he said. "Aslan," said Lucy, "you're bigger." Aslan says, "That's because you're older, little one." Lucy replied, "Not because you're bigger." And Aslan said, "Every year you grow, you will find me bigger." And when I read that, it's like Jesus is saying, yes, get my kids together with all their problems that feel like they're overwhelming them, and let me become as big as I truly am by speaking to them about my promises, reminding them who I am, that I am in control, that I am the heart's greatest delight, that being with me, that love is greater than any pleasure in this world. Don't chase those other things. Like, he just becomes the size he's supposed to be again. It's letting go. For at least one day out of seven, right? All those parts of our identities, all those parts of our abilities in which we're constantly tempted to find our security, our identity. And we gather together as the voice of God falls fresh on us, and we discover afresh, you guys, just every week, that we are his children and what that means. And together, through worship, we are being recreated after all of our attempts to create through the week. All of our striving, so much is good. But now it's time just to come and sit and shout and praise and hear and be recreated in who we are in Christ. The devil distracts, God interrupts. All week, the devil distracts. But we come together and we allow God just to interrupt the whole scheme and speak to us. And a curious thing about this restoration, a curious thing about being filled up, being healed by hearing God's voice, is that it doesn't need any doing. It only needs hearing and believing. That's the power of God. I've been tripping out about this all week. I don't have to come here and actually do anything. I have to come here and listen. And by listening, the power of God's voice is so awesome that just by hearing who I am and who he is and where pleasure comes in life and all that good stuff, just by hearing and saying, "Yes, Lord, yes," it has the power to heal me and cast away those lies. I've been eating this in my soul and drinking this in my soul. John 6:63. Here's what Jesus says. "I don't even know what this means, and I love it. It's just mystery." It is the Spirit of God who gives life. John, you are not going to find it anywhere else. You're not going to feel healed and whole anywhere else. It is the Spirit of Christ who gives life. John, your flesh is no help at all. You can strive and you can work and you can be in that frenzy to feel good about who you are in the flesh, and it will never work. And Jesus looks at me and he goes like this. This is how I read the Bible, by the way. Like, he just says, "Come here." He goes like this, "John, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." I don't even get that, Jesus. He's like, "You don't even need to get it. Believe it. When I speak words, they are the Holy Spirit, and all they do is give life to you." I'm just like, then let's sing, then let's pray, and let's hear the word. Speak, Jesus. If when you speak, it's the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God moves, he just gives life. Then let's just hear your voice. Let's not neglect this thing. So I want to challenge you with something. We got to shut this down. I'm over time, but it's Tim's fault. Oh, man. I had this down to a T, Tim, but you were long, and so I'm a little late. No, I'm just teasing. But here's what I want to challenge you to do. And I had a great conversation with my wife. I want you to listen for his voice when we're together. I want you to like intentionally be thinking to yourself, he is trying to speak to me today. Me. He's got a message. He's got a word. And it's either going to be through the sermon or the song. Whatever it is, like he wants to speak to me. And I was walking through the lobby of the Narthex about 9:30 or something like that. And it just hit me like I was doing things. And that's okay. And I saw my wife and I'm like, Jess, you know, something that's really hit me. Am I doing things or am I doing things and listening for God to speak to me today? Maybe he wants to speak a word through someone, or maybe he wants me to come into contact with someone and pray over them, or I don't know, but is he speaking to me? And my wife goes like this. She goes, John, that's crazy. She's like, you're crazy. And then she walked off. No, she didn't. She goes, that's crazy. She goes, I was just praying like, Lord, I want to be more aware of how you want to speak to me when we gather. And then you came up to me and said that. And it's like, it's already starting. He's speaking. Like some of you are in fear right now. Let him speak to you and kill that. Some of you are terrified of what's going to happen this week. Let him speak to you and cast that out. Some of you, and I don't mean this, I mean this with all my heart. Like I believe God is telling me like what's going on in this body without a doubt. There are some of you, and this isn't a shot at you. This is for healing, who are very bitter. Just let him speak life into you. We're about to sing some songs. Let it be his voice speaking into you. He wants to give you life. He wants to free you. Listen to his voice, not your worries. Trust in him, not your fears. Allow that continual influence of his transforming word flow through your spirit when we gather. And the way you view Sundays, man, I got to get there. That's beautiful. God is looking for people that will come together, embrace, hear his voice, be empowered, and carry the privilege and power of his presence in such a way, you guys, that we break into the realm of absolute impossibility. I believe that with all my heart. Let's make this a big gathering. Let's do this thing. Let's pray. And I want to do something with your heads bowed, just in a posture of prayer. God has spoken to us. And just to ignite your hunger and the beauty of the gathering, the togetherness of the church. With your heads bowed, I want you to get this image. It's been very cold at night in San Francisco. I'm sure you know what it's like to be in a house that's really cold. I want you to visualize it. Maybe it's your little apartment, whatever. But it's a cold night. But you're sitting by a wonderful, beautiful, bright fire. The rest of the house could be getting really, really cold. But because you're next to that fire, you don't even know. And so you get up from that fire, you walk away from that fire into the rest of the house, and you're suddenly freezing. Your feet are cold. You're frigid. You're uncomfortable. It feels even more quiet than it really is in the rest of the house. What are you going to do? Well, you could get really active. You can move all around. You could try to get the blood moving. You could work yourself into a frenzy to try to stay warm. But what's so cool about God is that you ought to go back to the fire and just sit and simply experience the presence of the warmth. That's what coming together is all about. Let's not stray far, friends. Let's come back to the fire. Let's hear our Father's voice together. Let's leave here warm in spirit and in power. You pray to God as he has spoken to you. We hear from God, we believe, and we declare. And his message from his lips is that we are not slaves to this materialistic society. You are not a slave to the identity that this society demands of you. Rather, we are declaring together our freedom of our identity in God and in Christ. We are not slaves. We are the beloved. Let his voice heal your hearts. And as we sing, hear these words as the voice of God, he's got a message of healing for you today. Keep praying.